Please open your Bibles to Psalm 134. And I forgot my glasses. Since I'm looking at the board, oh my goodness. Am I going to be able to do this? I think I need my glasses. So Brother Larry, would you mind getting my glasses for me out of my office? And I'll go as far as I can here. Isn't that funny? That's embarrassing. I didn't realize I didn't have my glasses on. So it'll be that one right there. And when you walk into my office and you turn right, they should be on the shelf right there in a brown eyeglass carrier, right about at chest level. That's funny. Okay, so, yes. I'm using this, aren't I? No, the lapel mic, the battery ran out on that, yeah. Okay. So now we're ready. Sorry about that, everybody. All right, Psalm 134. There are 8 lines in this psalm. And 5 times in those 8 lines, the psalmist is making reference to the Lord. Or more specifically, Yahweh is really what it should be, or Jehovah. There are 46 words in the New King James Version of this psalm. Thank you, Larry. And 5 times we have the Lord, and 3 times where it's talking about blessing the Lord. All right, so let's begin with the preface here. It just says, a song of ascents. And remember what I've been telling you about Psalms 120 through 134. That it's they're traveling to Jerusalem from all parts of Israel for a feast day or whatever. And these would be psalms that they would either sing or pray or just recite as they're going. And as you read Psalms 120 through 134, you can kind of see a progression. And now with Psalm 134, here's the end of the songs of ascent. They have finally reached their destination, and they're standing right in front of the temple. And I'm sure this must have been a thrilling time for them. So let's hear what they had to say. What would be their concluding psalm as they've traveled on foot, mule, in a wagon, some by horse, I suppose? You know, they're not getting there quickly in a car or flying there, as you know. The travel is slow. So they've made this journey. What's the last psalm now that they want to say to God as they're standing before the temple? All right, so verse 1 is, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Now look at them. They've all arrived. There's this huge group. Who knows how many thousands of Israelites are there? And they say, behold! In their excitement, they're saying, look! Haven't you ever done that with someone before? I was thinking about that today, and I was thinking about like being out at night. And you're out in the country, you're away from all lights, and you can see the stars. Maybe, you know, you're camping or something. You can see the Milky Way, and it seems like you can see every star that's out there. That's always an amazing sight, isn't it? And even though you're standing with someone, and you're both looking at the sky, you say, look. Well, the other person doesn't say, well, I am looking. What do you think I'm doing? It's just like, you have to say something. Look. Behold, isn't this a wonderful sight? And that's how it was for them, and they're standing before the glorious temple of God. Look! They've all seen it before. But look again. They didn't get to see it every day because they didn't live in Jerusalem. They lived in other places. Now they're coming and they're seeing this, and it's just like, will you take a look at that? Now, notice what they were to do. It's interesting. This psalm tells us what, who, you know, where, and why, and so forth. Okay, so notice what they were to do. Bless the Lord. which means to speak well of him, and speak well of him to him, and speak well of him to your friends, like how they're telling each other to do. Well, someone says, well, I really don't know how to do that. I mean, what do you say? Let me give you three things to think about. Number one, just do an overview of your own life. You've had some times when you didn't know you were going to make it financially. You had some times when you didn't know if you were going to make it relationship-wise. You've had different struggles in your life. And somehow you pulled through it. Thank God for that. Or look at nature. This is one thing I like to do, is I just look at nature, and it amazes me how nature harmonizes with itself. Somehow all of nature works with itself. And our own bodies work with themselves, and they work with nature. It's such a fascinating thing. Or just recall some biblical stories and all that God has done to bring you salvation. What is all that stuff about in the Bible? What is all that stuff about in the Old Testament? Well, it's God working to bring us salvation. So thank Him for that. Or just talk about it. Say, thank you, God. I praise you, God, for choosing Abraham and making him the father of us all. And I want to have faith like he did. And I think you are worthy of that kind of faith, and so on. Also, this verse tells us who was to bless the Lord. All the servants of the Lord. And in particular, these were the ones who stood by night in the house of the Lord. Sounds to me like they're speaking to the priests. So they've got it in there, and it might even be nighttime now. And they're, you know, and maybe the priests have come out to welcome the people, and they're just amazed by that. But they're like, we have come here to bless the Lord, and we have come here to hear you bless the Lord. They were the teachers of Israel. Not that anyone else couldn't teach, but God had selected the Levites in particular to teach Israel His law and for them to sing. Okay, I'll show you that here in just a few seconds. The Bible really talks a lot about us serving the Lord at night. And I think that's what these people wanted to do. It's like we've traveled all this way. We're standing before the temple. We didn't want to go to the local motel or inn yet. We don't want to go stay with our relatives. We have come here. We want to hear some singing or something. Okay, listen to this. 1 Chronicles 9, verse 33. The first nine chapters of Chronicles gives the genealogies of Israel. And it's easy to want to pass over it because there's all those names and you think, why do I need to know this? And the names are hard to pronounce and so on. But there's gems in there. I'd encourage you to read it, because you'll find little gems. Well, I think all of it's a gem. But you're going to find some extra stuff in there besides just names. And like this, 1 Chronicles 9:33. These are the singers, heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites, who lodged in the chambers. Now, why are they doing that? I thought they had homes. They would come and lodge there during their time of service, and watch further, and were free from other duties, for they were employed in that work day and night. Still 1 Chronicles, sorry. 1 Chronicles 23, verse 30. 1 Chronicles 23, 30. Speaks about those who would stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. So David is the one who organized all the Levites and the priests and who served when and who did what. And part of that is he set aside certain families that they would just be there at the temple singing to God. So evidently, it's not just that people went there for sacrificing. You would go there and you would hear music. And at the temple, it would be a cappella. They'd just be singing. And I don't know if I have that right or not. They may have used instrumental music then. It was in the synagogues where they didn't use the instruments and they did a cappella. So it's interesting. It's fascinating. You go there in the morning, you go there in the evening, whenever you could go, and Levites are singing. I'm sure that must have been a very, very beautiful thing. Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, verse 29 says, "You shall have a song as in the night when a holy festival is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goes with a flute to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel." Now, isn't that interesting? He makes reference to them being there at night during a holy festival. You know, our national holidays aren't just during the day. In fact, some of them, like the 4th of July, really come alive at night. And that could have been that way for the Israelites too. I mean, for example, when would they observe the Passover? That would be the evening meal. And remember, it's happening at night when Israel's being delivered. So they may have waited till the sun had gone down, and they would have that time. And those who were in Jerusalem at that time could go to the temple and hear music in relation to that. "Since the Lord never sleeps," that's Psalm 121, "but gives us sleep," that's Psalm 127, "we should be blessing Him at night too." I'm sure that many of you, sometime during the day, you bless the Lord. Why not bless Him at night? Why not bless Him before you go to sleep? Because have you ever thought about how really vulnerable you are at night? I mean, we lock up our doors and everything and so on because we realize how vulnerable we are. But while we're there sleeping, the Lord, He's awake, and He's preparing the world so that it'll be all ready when we wake up in the morning. And there it is. Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 92, 1 through 4. "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands." Okay, so what work has God done for you? Well, the psalmist said, declare His faithfulness every night. Is God's faithful to us. It's like He's loyal to us when He doesn't have to be, but He is. What a beautiful picture that is. Another psalm, Psalm 42, verse 8. Psalm 42, 8 says, "The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life." Is He the God of your life? Okay, well, then the psalm here says, you know, let thoughts of Him be in your head at night. Another psalm, Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verse 6. "I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search." The book before Psalms, Job. And Elihu is speaking to Job. And he's rebuking Job as well as his three older friends. And part of what he says is this. In Job 35:10, he says, "No one says, where is God my maker who gives songs in the night?" Now go over to Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 and 37, speaks about a woman who was a prophetess. And notice where she lived permanently, evidently, and what she was doing there. Luke 2, 36 and 37. "Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. So something moved this woman to want to be at the temple and just worship God all the time. That doesn't mean everyone has to do that, obviously, but she was moved to do that, and it was part of her nightly routine to praise God. And then finally, Acts 16. This is probably one that will be familiar to everyone. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas have been preaching. They've been thrown into a Roman jail cell because of it over there in Philippi. And then it says this, Acts 16:25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Wow, isn't that beautiful? Here these men have been arrested and beaten, if I remember right. Yes, they've been beaten. And they're in prison, but they're not complaining. They're not calling for lawyers. They're not threatening a lawsuit. They're singing and praying to God in the middle of the night. Wow. Let's go back to Psalm 134. Now verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Okay, so we've already had what they were to do, who was to do it. Now, how to do it? Well, they were to speak it and to lift up their hands or hand. Okay, let me give you a couple passages on this one. Psalm 63, 3 and 4. Psalm 63, 3 and 4 says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Okay, so don't be afraid to express yourself when you're praising God. I know that everyone has their own way of expressing themselves. And when my kids were growing up at home, they made fun of me a lot because of when I preach, because I guess I use my hands a lot. And I never knew that. I have never seen myself on video preaching until 2 weeks ago when I was in Idaho. And a sister in the congregation with her phone was taking little short video clips. And then she showed them to me. And I had no idea how I'm resisting moving my hands around right now. I had no idea how my hands are all over the place. So maybe someday I'll see a whole sermon on video, and I guess I'll be shocked. I don't know, but I was busting up laughing at this guy whose hands were all over the place and different expressions on his face and everything. I had no idea I was like that. After 38 years, I had no idea. Oh, and I know not everyone's that way. There's a preacher, I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not, but his name is Robert Taylor. Not only does he have absolutely zero body movement, but he has absolutely zero change in his voice. Total monotone. His whole sermon is memorized, and they're excellent. I love listening to Robert Taylor. One time someone teased him and said that he got really excited in a sermon because he went like this. Yeah. So everybody's different. But listen, if you need to fall down on your face, do it. If you need to stand up, do it. If you need your eyes to be open, look up into heaven, do it. If you need to be looking down in shame or something, then do it. If you need your hands folded, or you know, like what that famous painting with the hands put together, or lifted up, or whatever. That's what the Bible's showing us here. Okay, also now 1 Timothy 2, verse 8. 1 Timothy 2, verse 8 shows the same thing in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 2, 8 says, I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. All right, now also Psalm 134, verse 2, tells us where to bless the Lord. In the sanctuary. The sanctuary, or the temple, and the grounds surrounding it were all about blessing the Lord. Now, I know that the building we're in right now is not the New Testament version of the temple. The New Testament version of the temple is us. We're the temple of God. But when we assemble together, is this not the perfect place or time for us to be praising God together? And you know, when we sing our songs, man, sing them with your heart. If you agree with what was prayed, say amen. Maybe you do, and I just only hear myself. I don't know, you know my hearing's bad. But, you know, do what is the most appropriate thing. You know, lift your hands during the blessing. The most appropriate place to do it, of course, was in the sanctuary. That's where God is. All right? Now, verse 3. The Lord who made heaven and earth bless you from Zion. Here's the why. Why do it? Why bless the Lord? Well, the Lord made heaven and earth, and He blesses you from Zion, the psalmist said. Okay, let's take a look at that first one. The Lord made heaven and earth. Apparently, the world does not question how everything got here. My question is, if there is no God, where did everything come from? It would have had to have created itself. Of course, I know their comeback to that is, well, where did God come from then? Well, when it comes down to it, the debate is, there has to be a first cause, something that causes everything else to be, that is itself uncaused. That makes sense? Here is something that causes everything to exist, but itself is not caused. It just has always been. So it's either matter or mind. Is matter eternal? Well, even those who disagree with what the good book says will say, no, it's not eternal. It began 13.4 billion years ago when nothingness exploded into somethingness, otherwise known as the Big Bang. Okay, well, I'm of the judgment that there is a God and He brought everything into existence. That's what verse 3 is affirming. I think you, and I know you believe that same thing. The Lord made heaven and earth, and made heaven, the heavens and the earth work perfectly together to give us life. Have you thought about that? How is it that our bodies have certain nutritional needs, and we just so happen to live on a planet where there are thousands, I've even read that there are 10,000 edible things for us. Look at the pictures we have of Mars. It always cracks me up. I mean, I love the space program because I just, to me, it shows God's glory. But it always cracks me up when we found something on Mars and it'll be maybe a shiny object that is half the size of your fingernail. And they still haven't found any food up there yet. But think about, I mean, you can eat so much here. We have a superabundance of food. How does God feed 7 billion people every day? Well, Don, some people are starving to death. Well, you want Him to do it all? Can't you do some? That's my response to that. Why can't you feed some of those people? So He feeds the vast majority, gives us all the resources, and we hold it against Him because some are hungry. Well, He wants us to jump in there and do our part at some point. And also, concerning the earth, it amazes me that whatever we want to make, dream of anything, we can find the materials to do it on this planet. I go to Mars again, it looks to me like it's all the same. I suppose there's some variants, but it doesn't have the variety that we have here. How did it work out just like that? Okay, and the second thing that the psalmist mentioned was the Lord blesses you from Zion. Bless Him and He'll bless you from Zion. Well, He blessed the children of Israel from Zion, the city that's still over there today. He blesses the world from Zion. That's right. Where did it all begin? Where was the kingdom of God first established? Where did the gospel preaching begin? It was in Jerusalem. That's why we have it here in Grants Pass, Oregon today in 2018. Because it started in Jerusalem. Prophecies and promises of salvation all centered, for the most part, around Jerusalem. And where was our Lord Jesus Christ crucified? Jerusalem. And today, he sees the church as Zion. Hebrews chapter 12. Has he blessed you in the church? For me, I don't even know where to begin to talk about how God has blessed me in the church. One of the things I think about is my kidney transplant. And back in, it would have been 1997, because I had the transplant in 98. In 1997, my dad approached me and said, why don't you ask the church there at Niles Street in Klamath Falls if they can set up a fund for whoever gives you a kidney, because whoever was going to do that was going to lose 6 weeks of work. And obviously, their employer probably wouldn't keep paying them during that time. So let's replace their income. I thought, good idea, Dad. And I approached the men over there, and they said, yeah, we'll do it. By the time it was all over, without me saying anything to anyone, over $31,000 have been given. Not just by the Nile Street Church. In fact, I think some even came from here at Savage Street and from all over the United States. And I was like, I don't know what to say about that. My mom was the donor, as you know, and she didn't make $31,000 in 6 weeks. So, you know, the men came up with this on their own. They said, whatever we get in more than what your donor makes an income, we'll apply that to your medical bills. And so, you know, my mother was fine with the money. I think we even gave her more money than what she actually made. I mean, which I'm glad they did that, because she was doing such a wonderful thing for me. And then the rest paid medical bills that I just wasn't able to pay. But in one sense, that's minor. The spiritual blessings that I have received in the church. You know, I don't know how I could ever repay the people who have taught me, prayed for me, loved me, supported me, accepted me, been there for me, or whatever. And maybe you've been in that same situation. The friendships that I have in the church, I don't know how I tell the world about that, because they think they have super friends out there, and they do. I don't want to take away from that. But there's a level and an experience of friendship that you experience in the church that, well, I haven't found anywhere else. I don't know about you. And it's wow. The only thing I try to do now is to do those things for others. If I need to give money to help someone because of their medical bills or whatever, I'll do it. You know, I teach and I pray for you all the time. I love you. I support you. I try to be there for you. There's been a couple times when I couldn't. And I was, you know, like George Calvert one time had a blood clot in his lungs, you know, which is exceedingly dangerous. And he called me and wanted me to come to the hospital and pray for him. And I couldn't at that time. And I felt really bad about that. But whenever I can, I try to be a blessing to others. Anyways, I'm kind of getting off track, I know. But I think you know what I'm talking about. When you look at Psalm 134, verses 1 and 2 talk about us blessing God. But then verse 3 talks about God blessing us. And they went there to bless the Lord. But I think anyone who blesses the Lord and they set their lives up to bless the Lord, they always find out that they will experience what the psalmist is talking about. They end up being blessed. Now, wait a minute. I want to do the blessing. So they bless and they come out with a greater blessing. How does that happen? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20 and verse 35. The Lord blesses those who bless Him. And to me, I look at the lives of Christians who just honor God and they glorify Him. And when I see that and I see the kind of people that they are, you, I can see our purpose for being. We're made to glorify God. One commentator said about Psalm 134, when you lift up your hand to bless the Lord, He will reach down His hand to bless you. That's exactly what's going on in Psalm 134. I want to encourage you tonight to rededicate your life to blessing the Lord. If you're not already are in that direction, you know, make a decision tonight. From now on, I'm going to bless the Lord with my life. Come forward now as we stand and sing.